Thank you all for joining us from your home. Going to try to look at two questions tonight during the teaching time. Number one, we're going to finish answering the question, hopefully, what can I do to help out during this coronavirus season? How can I help other folks? And then question number two, how can I experience joy during isolation and social distancing? Does the Bible speak to that? Yeah, I think it absolutely does. So we're going to look at some scripture passages on how to help out with just increasing our joy level. First of all, let's open in prayer. Then we will have one song of worship and go into the teaching time. During the teaching time, you can send us questions, and we'll try at the end of that time to do the best we can to answer the questions, share your suggestions and insights as well. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for this grace that we enjoy. We give you thanks for the privilege to have technology like this to be able to join together in homes. It's definitely not the same to us as if we were together, and yet we do thank you. We are grateful. We are grateful for the health that we enjoy at this time. Thank you, Father, for the heart of these, your people, to serve others, to serve each other, to just totally worship you. And we pray that you would equip us tonight, but that you would also be honored in our focus on you, just forgetting about everything else, and focus on your goodness and your grace. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. Thank you for paying the penalty of every bad thing those of us who trust you have ever done, ever will do. Thank you for dying in our place. You have risen. You are alive. You are victorious over sin and death. You offer us the gift of eternal life, your presence with us, your friendship with us now and forever, based on trusting you. And thank you for your power to work in us and through us in the lives of others. We pray that each person would be trusting you right now for the gift of eternal life that's watching us. And Father, we do again pray for our nation and for this globe, that you would use this time for great good, that you would work humility in our hearts and a coming back to you all over this planet, including Anna Maria, Manatee County, Florida, and America. Thank you for great grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. The song we're going to do, we'll close with a song as well, but the song we're going to do right now is from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Anyone here feel a little bit weary? Check out these words from Isaiah, written about 600 years roughly before, maybe more than that, seven, before Jesus came to the planet. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. This song we're going to lead us all in is called Everlasting God. Listen, if you would, for the phrases from Isaiah 40, verse 28. The song begins with us speaking or singing to each other this promise. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. In other words, focus on Him. And then the pre-chorus and the chorus, we turn our attention to God. We are singing to Him. At that point, you reign forever. You're our hope. You're our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. Let's sing together.
Let's pray together again a moment. Thank you again, Father God, for your incredible grace to us, your goodness to us. We do pray for wisdom through this season. Help us to see things the way you see them. Help us to truly grow in a greater depth of worship for you and a greater love for one another during this definitely strange and unusual time for us. Thank you for still for your incredible goodness, just the awesome privilege to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open up, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 16, and again, the book of Philippians, chapter 1. It'll be a while before we're there, but that gives you a chance to find a Bible. You know, it's tucked away somewhere in your house, so get one from the kids, if you would, and let's pull that out, and let's get busy. We're in a series, don't know how long it's going to go, but the series is entitled Life and Ministry During the Coronavirus Season. And again, during this teaching, you can, on Facebook, send in your insights, questions, words of balance, whatever it may be, and we will try to get to those toward the end. Two questions: what can I do to help other folks during this time? And number two, how can I experience joy during isolation and social distancing? So let's get to the first question. This is kind of part two of the answer of that. Last time we answered the first 5 of 10 points. We're going to answer the second 5 kind of quick because we've already kind of talked about them. But it would be good for us to quickly, and I mean quickly, review. If you want to get more detail, listen to the sermon last time from Sunday morning. Number one, what can you do to help out? On our list always at Cross Point Fellowship is going to be prayer. We believe in listening for God, His voice, His guidance, His power, His directions in ministry, and we believe in speaking to Him and bringing needs before Him. We talked about 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and how to pray for revival, and Matthew chapter 6 and kind of an outline of basic things to pray about every day. You can find those on your own. And we encourage you today to get a directory. If you don't have one, we don't just give them to anybody, but come and ask. I'm going to use the word directory about 1,000 times today because it's all about praying for each other and doing life together now via the telephone or other means of social networking. So we're going to talk about the directory quite a bit. I'm going to bring it up. If you don't have one, we encourage you to give us a call, and we'll do what we can to vet you first and get you a directory. Everybody should have, every Christian should have a prayer list, something clear. I mean, if you're just going to go and go, God bless the whole world, amen, probably that's not going to be a meaningful time with God. But if you break it down and you're praying for individuals and you're asking God to speak to you, this can honestly be the most meaningful time or times in your day. Let's teach our kids also to pray and ask for God's guidance in ministry during this time. Prayer is actually mostly listening. All right? Number two, this is by way of review, communication. So we're wanting to hear from God and talk to God about everything and everybody. And then number two, we're needing to talk to each other, kind of a no-brainer. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Once again, as you pray and you're praying through the directory, the people in your life group or other people, God may lay them on your heart. Give them a call. And just the words that I'm thinking about you, how can I pray for you, anything we can do for you, is just great encouragement. Number three, doing the same thing really in an organized way. We call it the Deacon Family Ministry Plan. Basically, it's our leaders in an organized way, making sure we're calling everybody and making sure all y'all have somebody to call. If you don't have a deacon, please let us know, and we'll get you paired up with one. All right? Number four, member services. That's kind of how we meet needs in an organized way. We do it in an unorganized way, just person to person. But in an organized way, member services is how we do that. So we need volunteers to help with that. If you'd like to volunteer, let us know. And that's just meeting whatever needs that folks may have. The early church organized for ministry from their very outset. They had a lot of needs. And you can read about that in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and following. Number five, life groups. We pounded that life last time. These are small groups where we do life together. The life group leaders are learning how to do social stuff like Zoom and go to meeting and that kind of thing, and they'll be connecting with you in the course of time if they haven't already. So we're getting all that up and running with each of the groups. If you're not part of a group, now's a great time to join one. All right, so right there, I'm going to take a breath and go, that's all by way of review. That was fast. Now I'm going to slow down a little bit, and number six is where we begin today. Number six is student discipleship. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, that's one of the first five books in the Bible, we have this word from God to dads. And I want us dads to take it in. I think moms can do it too. I think grandmas can do it. I think granddads can do it. I think uncles and aunts. But this is a word to dads. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God, dad, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That means you put everything into getting to know God and valuing Him. These words which I am commanding you today, this is God speaking through Moses, shall be on your heart. In other words, take in all that God says, meditate on it, think about it through the day, and you shall teach these words diligently. That means really focus on how to do this as well as possible to your sons. And talk about these words as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you lie down, as you rise up. In other words, always looking for teachable moments. And this is a great time where there's a lot of people hurting. It's a teachable moment on the one hand that God is providential. He's in charge and He loves us and we're trusting Him. But also that God wants to use us in ministry to other folks. And so this is a time to really, for dads and sons and daughters, or I don't want to exclude moms and aunts and uncles and grandmas, and get together, really focus on the kids. Don't freak them out. They pick up on what we're saying, even if we think they're not listening. Let's grow them in faith and ministry during this time. We've sent you online, if you're a parent, online curriculum to help your kids with Bible study as they're missing the studies here. We're glad to help you with that. Please call us about that. Want to teach our kids, I don't know, maybe a good way to put it is the golden rule right now. To really put yourself in the, have your son, have your daughter, put themselves in the shoes of a senior lady living down the street. You know, bring her one of those, one of these cards about our desire to help her with whatever she may have. We can pick these up at the church. Or make your own, decorate them, put a little a handmade card with them, a painted rock, something like that. Also, take them into the community, teach them about the community, take them to a little mom and pop shop, and maybe make a card for that person and say, without lying, we are praying for you and your store. Thank you for what you do for our community. Something simple like that. Or the service providers. So we have police hanging out in our parking lot all the time. I think they're still looking for me, but nonetheless, as they keep an eye on me, they're here looking for speeders as well out front. And I tell you what, every time I go talk to them, which is kind of frequently, they're glad to talk to me. And I can tell you, your little Johnny or Susie or whoever going up and giving them a card would be kind of a cool thing. The same with our mayors and commissioners and just folks who help out in the community, whoever's around you. Got a call from a lady today about her kids going out and singing to folks, wanting to name some seniors for her kids to go up and help them out any way they can, but also sing to them. So all of that's good. Let's talk about it. Give us a call. We'll get your kids working in ministry. Number seven, you're talking about ways you can help out. Number seven is corporate worship. That's what we're doing right now. And the idea behind this, the small groups is the number one thing, but corporate worship matters because it kind of keeps the church unified. For example, Ephesians 4, verse 11, we have these words. God has given leadership gifts, including pastors and teachers, for equipping the saints, that would be all the believers, for the work of the ministry, and they're the ones who build up the body of Christ. So the job of elders and teachers is to grow the saints. The job of the saints is to minister to one another. And we want to keep that flow going. So please keep joining us on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, if you would. Number 8 is outreach, which we've alluded to a few different times. One, just on Facebook, share the link with a friend. Also in outreach, I mentioned those little cards a moment ago where we're advertising our desire to help folks. Pass those things out. We got plenty of them at the church. Again, they look like that. I don't know if you can see that, but pass these out like playing cards everywhere. If you're not sure who's in a house, leave one on the fence. Put one in a little baggie on the ground with a little rock in it. Whatever. Leave them around. Folks are big enough. If they don't want it, they'll pick it up with a pair of tongs and throw it away. Don't worry about that. Just pass them out. Befriend folks. Do what you can to just live the Christian paradox. What's the Christian paradox? You know, when we're by ourselves and we're not doing anything, we tend to freak out. The Christian paradox is when we give our lives away, we get life. When we hold on to our lives and kind of hide, that's when things come unraveled. It's a paradox. It's just the way it works, all right? The Christians through the ages, when plagues come, they're the ones taking care of the sick and the needy and the dying. And that needs to be the church today. Within reason, again, we can be careful. We got good health care providers, but let's do what we can. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, we have these words. Conduct to the church, to all of us. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward folks who aren't part of the congregation, making the most of every opportunity. And that's what we want to do in this time. Number 9, ministry teams are going to continue to work. The various types of teams are needed. I think of the mission team right now because missionaries are hurting. Probably their amounts of money they're being supported is being cut. And we got to keep functioning so we can do so on social networking and that kind of thing. But our teams are going to keep operating. If you have a need from any team, please contact us. And we're going to keep the teams going and ministering. If you're not part of a team, go to our website and join one of the teams. They're listed on the website. If you have any questions about that, give us a call. Number 10, stewardship. The need for benevolence may increase big time. We're not sure yet. Things are kind of, going pretty well at this point. Just not sure. But our expenses are not going to go down in this time. If anything, they may go considerably up. And with the mindset that ministries and missionaries, this church is very solvent, and we're grateful for your gifts. But there's other churches that are hurting right now and not going to be, they might have to cut funding of ministries and missionaries. And we want to be able to kind of step in and help out as best we can. So we're not on vacation. We've ramped it up. Our expenses are going to remain the same, if not go up like quite a bit, because we really want to help those that are hurting. So this principle is still true. Matthew 6, verse 19. And you want to teach your kids this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. Here's the point. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Your heart follows your money. My heart follows my money. Whatever I invest in, my heart's going to be there. So we encourage you to continue to give. Why? Number one, because your heart needs to do that. And then number two, our needs are actually going to be probably greater. Again, the church is in good shape, but we really want to help other folks. All right? So those are the 10 things that we're giving right now. We may add to that list on ways that you can join us in being a blessing at this time to one another and to others in the community, and have your kids join us as well. Question number 2, how can I experience joy during isolation and social distancing? Does the Bible talk about that? Is like social distancing in the Bible? Is like, you know, isolation in the Bible? I think it is. I think it's like in a lot of places in the Bible. And so we're going to look at a couple of those places. Acts chapter 16, we have this scenario. A guy named Paul, ex-terrorist, and a few folks with him have gone to a place called Greece, northern Greece, and there's a city called Philippi. God kind of called them to go over there. And they go over there to plant a church, to witness to the folks who hadn't heard about Jesus, and to plant a church. So as they're over there witnessing, some really, really good stuff happens, which really ticks off some bad people, and a big uproar, and some people grab them and bring them to the magistrates, and the magistrates are really ticked off. There's a big crowd that's really ticked off. Things are really ginned up. And this, without a trial, this magistrate orders them to be beaten with rods. I think what that means in Greek is they were beaten with rods, okay? Stretched out, you know, and just beaten with big old sticks, big round sticks, which would bruise them and tear them up very badly. So they were beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted, verse 23 of Acts 16, when they had inflicted many blows, wasn't just a little spanking. Now they're beaten up. They threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to secure them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now I think we can call this isolation. Bit of social distancing even from the other prisoners taking place here, okay? So there they are, and I think we can call this a really scary scenario. They're in isolation, and they don't know what tomorrow holds, and they are at the mercy of an angry city, and talk about fear, and maybe the temptation to be mad at God, maybe the temptation to be confused and feel forgotten. You know, all of that. So, what should they do? In fear, isolation, confusion, where's God in all of this? Well, the next verse says, about midnight, I don't know what time they went in, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Praying. What were they praying about? Knowing Christians, as I do, in Scripture, they were praying for their persecutors, praying for the fellow prisoners, praying for believers, Lydia and company, who got saved a little while earlier in that city, other churches that they had the privilege to be a part of and plant. And they were praying through the Scriptures, giving thanks to God, trusting His promises. And they were listening. Again, most of prayer is listening. And they were singing hymns of praise to God. I don't think hymns means exactly like what we have in our hymnals. Hymns would be the Old Testament, their Bible, in poetic form, which is most of the Old Testament if you read it in Hebrew. So they're singing the Scriptures, and they're praying the Scriptures, and they're praying for anything and everything that God laid on their heart. And that's what they found themselves doing. Come back to that in a moment. By the way, the prisoners were listening to them. Now, this is a good chance for us to spread joy and not fear to our kids, to one another, and to folks that are listening. And folks are watching. Folks are listening. We have a God that's sovereign. And no matter what's happening, we're trusting Him. We're going to be praying to Him, going to be listening for Him, and we're going to be quoting Scripture and singing Scripture to one another. That's just what we do. I have made the excuse, and I hear the excuse quite a bit. You know, my life is so busy, preacher. You keep talking about reading the Bible on my own and praying through Scripture and listening to God and doing. I mean, that sounds great, but you have no idea. I'm a single mom. or I've got two jobs, and you know, just turmoil, just nothing but turmoil day and night. And I just can't. I can't find the time. It's interesting how to view this season right now. There are families that are home, not working, and that hurts financially, I get it. But others in their jobs are starting to slow way down, finding more time. What's God up to? And I think for the church, there's a balance in this. You know, on the one hand, I'm kind of wired to go, let's seize the opportunity. I mean, it's hurting people. Let's get out there. Let's, you know, all of our waking hours. We're on the street. We're tearing it up. But the other side is maybe God's given us a little bit of a sabbatical also. Be still. Know that I'm God. More time in Scripture. More time in prayer. More time really listening to God. Being still, worshiping God with biblical songs, songs that bring Scripture to bear in our hearts, meditating on Scripture, spending more time in Scripture, memorizing Scripture, doing that with our kids. Sabbatical, we call those things, extra time with God. I don't know, maybe that's what God is up to right now. And I think that's what Paul and Silas chose to do with their time. They're isolated, locked up. They don't know if they're going to rot there or not, or even be killed the next day. I mean, they just don't know. But they chose to have something we call a sabbatical, just taking the time, midnight, nothing's on TV, you know, there it is. No sports on, by the way. And that's tough, but maybe there's a good side that there's no sports on, you know? And most of the movies, I mean, let's just face it, you know, I don't want to see them. Nothing to do. Isn't that beautiful? Come back to the way it used to be. Spend time with God. Time quiet. So I think there's a side of taking the opportunities that are afforded us to reach people, to minister to people, and to do that well and hard. But also to have those times of just sitting back, slowing down, and really having extended time in Scripture. And we are here to help you. The other elders are glad to help you. If you've never done this before, we will do anything day or night to help you in how to have a devotional time, how to read Scripture. We're glad to do that. We are excited about doing that. You say, well, you know, okay, I hear you, but, you know, that was just overnight. You know, I've been cooped up for 2 weeks now, and you know, come on. Well, you know, the reason we got Acts 16 out, and I'm going to shut down here in a moment, but the reason we got Acts 16 out is because that gives us the setting for this book we call the book of Philippians. Philippians is in your Bible, in the New Testament, second half of the Bible, little book, four chapters, and it's a book that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, a number of years after this incident. This incident is where Paul and company planted the church. He's going to complete a missionary journey. He's going to go back to his home church. He's going to complete another missionary journey. And then he's going to go back near his home church and be arrested and shipped over to Rome. But after he was arrested, he was about 2 years roughly in mandatory isolation by the authorities. And then he's put on a ship with social distancing and goes to Rome, and he's in about another 2 years roughly of isolation and social distancing. And sometime in that time, imprisoned in Rome, he pens this letter. And he says in this letter, we, speaking of him and other leaders with him, that are around him, that would visit him periodically in prison and get as close as they could. We are workers with you for your joy. It just seems like the main theme that Paul's trying to shoot at is building up the joy level of that church that he's writing to and us today. So I'm just going to introduce the letter to you so that you can take some time and read this on your own. And we will come back to it probably Sunday morning, but I'm not sure because we'll just see where things go. So planning to come back Sunday morning, but not sure. So just going to introduce the letter to you. When you ask the question, what can I do to have more joy? I'm going to give you from Acts 16 what? Prayer and worship in song. Singing the scriptures. Prayer and singing the scriptures. We can just call all that worship. Just connecting with God. Focusing on God. Let me give you the number two thing, and then we're probably going to close this down and get your questions. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Overseers would be the elders, the pastors, and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an awesome intro. We can typically read that and fly over it, and I'm not going to try to take Philippians apart as we go, but I'm looking at this, I'm going, man, how cool is that? If I was Paul and I was tasked by God with increasing the joy level in the church in Philippi, which was undergoing more and more people not liking them and facing this possible isolation, by the way, as he's writing to them, if I was Paul, I'm going, okay, what's the first thing I'd write? Yeah, how do I approach this thing? And so I think it's a brilliant letter, and we're going to kind of go, hopefully, kind of step by step and take Paul's advice and go, you know, the first thing is going to be identity. So in Acts 16, it's going to be prayer and singing the scriptures. But here, Philippians, first thing's going to be knowing your identity in Christ. You say, well, where do you get that from? On the one hand, he gives the example, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. There's that great Christian paradox. He could have introduced himself with any number of titles, but he wanted to be identified as a servant, as an example to them. Servants, not so much of people, though that's true, servants of Christ. That means when they do what they do, it's all about their relationship with Christ. And if people are not thankful for what they do, okay, they're serving Christ, obeying Him, and loving who Jesus wants them to love, which is everybody, including their enemies. So, on the one hand, they see themselves as servants, setting an example for us. If we see ourselves as servants, that leads to a joyous, grand, glorious life. Then, secondly, on the other hand, to all the saints, those are folks made holy by what Jesus did for them. Completely separated from their sin, completely forgiven. Saints, holy ones in the eyes of God. Not based on anything in them, but based on what Jesus has done for them, removing their sin and transferring His righteousness to them. To all the saints, next word is in Christ Jesus. He sees them and wants them to see themselves as in Jesus, united to Jesus, inseparably united to Jesus, who are in Philippi. And then he gives them a blessing, which is at the same time a truth, grace to you. They're encompassed by the grace of God and need to see themselves that way. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says this, having been justified, that means made righteous, completely forgiven and made as righteous as Jesus is righteous, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. So think about that. We're justified, that means completely forgiven, and have the gift of being righteous before God. Because of that, we have peace with God. That means whatever happens to us is not the punishing hand of God, because we have a remaining peace with God. And he goes on to say, we're encompassed and surrounded by the grace of God, the love of God. And if you wanted to hear me say tonight that you're loved by God, I'm saying it loud and clear right now. You're loved by God on your worst day, Christian. No matter how bad you've been today, no matter how grouchy you got, no matter how much you caved to fear and freaked outness and all, you know, God, if you're trusting Christ, God loves you in a way where that love never declines, not even a little bit. Jesus was punished for you freaking out today and whatever else you and I did today. Surrounded by grace, total peace with God, united to Jesus inseparably, we're in Christ. In the eyes of God, we're saints, completely holy, no sin left on our account now and forever. Now, why is that so important? Because if I think, yikes, I think I'm just, I feel like my mind might have the virus. Was it because I sinned? I had a bad day. I had a bad month. I had a bad year. I was really bad back in elementary school. I mean, why did I get the virus? Why did I lose my job? Why? And we can feel like God's forgotten us. And I want you to know that in God's eyes, you're a saint. You're united to Jesus Christ. You're surrounded by His grace. And you have peace with Him. And you'll never be more loved than you are right now. Now, we're talking about joy. And I don't think there's any way to have an abiding joy if you don't know who you are in Christ. And our biggest problem is we just choose to not believe God. Yeah, I believe Jesus is my Savior, but still, I got to impress God or I'm going to get crushed. And I'm saying, looking at Paul's example, he's going, no, first thing, you got to know who you are. On the one hand, serve, but on the other hand, rest. I think that's the balance. Serve others, serve Christ, and serve others as you serve Christ. On the other hand, rest. Don't try to impress God. You're a saint. You're united to Christ. You're surrounded by grace. You have peace with God now and forever. And that's who we are. And then verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Just going to throw out one more word. Last verse, we're going over thankfulness. He is remembering the folks there in Philippi, and as he does so, he's thankful for them, and in his thankfulness, there's joy. I would challenge you to take that directory again. One, as you're going through it, we take folks at face value. If they tell us they've trusted Christ, we believe them, and we're always looking for evidences of God's grace, of course. As the majority of those folks, hopefully all of them, are saints. They're united to Christ. They're recipients of grace and surrounded by grace. They have peace with God, and they want to serve. That's who you're looking at as you go name by name in the directory. And I would challenge all of us to do this to increase our joy level. As you remember them going face by face by face, give God thanks for every one of them. Now listen to me really carefully. Give God thanks slowly for every person in that directory one by one. See what God does in your heart. That's my plea today. All right, so by way of review, how do we have increased joy? Number one, we choose to focus on the Lord, to pray to Him, to listen to Him in prayer as Paul and Silas did, and to sing Scripture, to quote Scripture, to be in Scripture, prayer and Scripture, prayer and song, worship, connected with God, focusing on God. Number two, book of Philippians, verses 1 and 2, remember who you are. Servant on the one hand, but a saint in Christ, surrounded by grace, at total peace with God. No anger of God. The anger of God toward you completely drained, completely gone on the cross. Nothing but unmitigated peace with God. So in that, there's security and peace and love and joy. And then number three, thankfulness. So for a lot of things, but right now, just the last verse three, as you go through the list of names that God's placed in your life, giving God thanks for them. And there's other folks, obviously, you can add to that list. See if that doesn't increase your joy level. Many more things in the book of Philippians that hopefully we'll get to a little bit later. All right? We're going to do another song. We have no questions or comments, just a note on that. That's great, because what that means is I've explained things so well. There's no questions, okay? But if you got one that comes up, if you listen to this sermon later on during the week, whenever, shoot it our way via email in whatever way you want to. Give us a call, text us, whatever, and we'll be glad to include it, hopefully next Wednesday night. We're going to pray together, and we're going to close out with a song. Father, thank you for your grace tonight, your grace toward each one watching, this great privilege to be able to look at your word together tonight. And Father, we pray that you would, as we study your word each day and the days ahead, that you would guide us. Thank you, Father, for a time for some of us of a little bit of an eased schedule, a little more time to not be drawn away by work or by the movie theater or by sports or, you know, all the other stuff that kind of vies for our attention or the attention of our children. A time of sabbatical. Not for all of us, but for many of us. Thank you for the time of sabbatical. And we pray that you would help us to use this time, this gift, really wisely. Help us to be diligent about serving, but also guide us into rest and the peace that comes from rest and the joy that comes from focusing on you anew and afresh. Father, we pray for the joy level of this congregation in these days where there's a temptation to go the opposite direction, to radically increase. Bless this congregation with great levels of joy and peace in you, no matter what is going on the outside. In Jesus' name, amen. The song we're going to close with is called Trading My Sorrows. And first line, Ross, sounds pretty good to me. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Pretty good idea. That's a choice. And so we're going to sing together this song.
I'm trading my
Joining us tonight, God bless you. God make you a blessing.